A mother looked out the window to see little Johnny playing church with their three kittens. He had lined them up and was preaching hellfire and brimstone to them, but the cats didn't really seem to mind. They were just sitting there, so the mother turned around to do some work. A while later, she heard frantic meowing and scratching on the door, and she went to the window and saw Johnny was baptizing the kittens. And she opened the window and said, "Johnny, stop that. You'll drown those kittens." And Johnny looked at her with much conviction in his voice, said, "Well, they should have thought of that before they joined my church." They should have thought of that before they joined my church. I hope that made you chuckle, but I also, even more so, hoped that it made you angry. I hope that something in there kind of ticked you off, maybe in the back of your mind a little bit. Not the baptizing the cats thing, but the phrase, my church. See, I have a love-hate relationship with that phrase. Hear me clearly when I say that I want you to love this place. I want you to take ownership of this place. I want this to be your church. But we have struggled for generations against a spiritual Alzheimer's. We are forgetting who this church really belongs to. I think we've all known someone, either here or at other churches, who believe that because this is their church, because their parents and their grandparents went here, it means that they can press their agenda and lay out their own path. And these individuals are troublesome to deal with it because they're blind to the true ownership of the church. If you believe that this is your church, then we have a problem. And the problem goes something like this. We are all poor, miserable sinners who are often wrong, even when we are 100% sure that we are right. Lord knows there's been a number of times when I was absolutely certain of something. My wife can confirm this. Well, I was just absolutely certain of it, and later it turns out I was completely wrong. Has that ever happened to you? Can you climb into this boat with me? So let me ask you, if nobody here is infallible, and we all think we know what's best for the church, what eventually happens? We fight, and we argue, all the while thinking that we are justified, that we are absolutely in the right. But the truth is, though, it doesn't matter who's right, because really, we've already lost. When this happens, at best, we have union without unity. Union without unity. If you're a visual person like me, you can picture this as tying two cats together by the tail and throwing them over a clothesline. That's union without unity. That's being bound together but not being together. A church that's tied together but fights all the way will die. And it will not be a slow and quiet death. It will be ferocious and painful. I have seen churches where simply being a member of them is painful due to the lack of unity. And that's to say nothing about trying to get involved in those churches. And nobody wants that to be Trinity. But we are not immune. Every church struggles with this. If you ask 100 different church members a question, you're likely to get 110 different answers. Our sinful nature tears us away from unity, and it pushes us to conflict and anger. It's the nature of our nature. And we can either ignore it and pretend like it doesn't exist, even as it tears us apart, or we can try to fix it. Do you want to fix it? Do you want to know the secret? There are two men who are standing on a bridge, and one's about to jump off, and the other is trying to talk him out of it. So the man asks the jumper, he says, "So are you religious?" And the jumper replies, "Yes, I'm Christian." The man says, "Oh, small world, me too. Protestant, Catholic, or Orthodox?" The jumper answers, "Protestant." The man says, "Oh, me too. What denomination?" Jumper says, "Baptist." The man replies, "Oh, me too. Southern Baptist or Northern Baptist?" The man answers, "Northern Baptist." The man replies, "Oh, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?" And the jumper replies, Northern Conservative Baptist. And the man replies, oh, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern region? And the jumper replies, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region. The man replies, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region Council of 1912? And the jumper replies, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region Council of 1912. So the other man shoves him off the bridge and screams, die, heretic. Now, I use Baptist there, not because this joke wouldn't work with Lutherans, but because it might have hit a little too close to home. Listen, when it comes to Christianity at a denominational level, there are differences that separate us. There's no ignoring that. To ignore it is to claim unity where it does not exist and downplay the clear doctrines that make the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod so great. But unfortunately, we often focus on the differences to the detriment of our similarities. And the same similarities that can unite Christian denominations even more so unite the different members of Trinity. Even with all our differences, we are one body, one family, one church and school. We must never forget this. We are together. We are united, bound by our shared faith. And that faith is built on nothing but Christ. Heads up now, because this is the main key point of this sermon. Our faith is built solely on Jesus Christ. That's what makes us strong. Our faith is not built on issues or doctrines or worship styles. Our faith is not dependent on which service we attend. It does not care if our carpet is red or blue. It does not care if our organ is made of pipes, circuit boards, or even rubber bands or kazoos. Our faith is not rooted in the Bible study we attend or which preacher is our favorite. The strength of our faith is not dependent upon if you come to this altar and you sip directly from the first cup, if you dip into the second, or if you even secretly wish we had those little tiny individual cups. What binds us together, what gives us unimaginable strength, is that we all have a shared Savior. No matter your age, your color, your ideology, we all share the same Christ. We all have the love of God. This is the source of our unity, our strength, and our mission. If we lose sight of that mission, if we forget that all of this is about Jesus, Jesus alone, then we start to think of this as my church. It goes from being Christ's church to being my church. And that's not right. This is not Luther's church. This is not Mike's church. This is not Carl's church. This is not Joe's church or Sue's church. I love each and every one of you here. But this is not your church, and it never will be. It's not yours. It's not mine. It is Christ's church. Never lose sight of that. Because it is such a wonderful thing for us. It unites us. We don't have to agree on every little thing because we can agree on Jesus. In the church, we can be siblings without being identical twins. That's okay. It's a good thing. We each have different gifts, talents, and insights. And as long as we use all of them to build Christ's church together, to fulfill his mission of spreading the gospel, then we are stronger for our differences. Unity does not mean uniformity. We won't always be on the same page. One Sunday morning, a pastor told his congregation that the church needed some extra money and asked the people to prayerfully consider giving a little extra in the offering plate. He said that whoever gave the most that weekend would get to pick three favorite hymns. After the offering plate was passed, the pastor glanced down and noticed that someone had contributed a $1,000 bill. He was so excited that he immediately shared his joy with the congregation and said he'd like to personally thank the person who placed the money in the plate. Now, Rosie, one of the older widows of the congregation, sitting all the way in the back, slowly raised her hand. And the pastor asked her to come down to the front, and she slowly made her way up to the pastor. And he told her how wonderful it was that she gave so much in thanksgiving and asked her to pick out her three hymns. And her eyes brightened, and she raised her arm to the congregation. She says, "I'll take him and him and him." Well, at least she knew what she wanted, right? Do we? Do you? Why is it that you come here? Why is it that you call yourself a Christian? See, there is one and only one good answer to that question. You are a Christian because Christ loves you and you love him back. And people know you're a Christian because Christ loves you and you share that love with others. It all begins and ends with the love of Christ. That is our strength. That is what we unite around. Whose church is this? It's Christ's church. And I am proud to be a part of it, and you should be too. We are Trinity Lutheran, and we are one in Christ. At the end of the day, we might disagree on everything else under the sun, and sometimes we do. But if we share Christ, then we are brothers and sisters bound together with a strength that cannot be broken. Are you with me? Are you committed to Christ and eager to share his love with others? That is our mission, and in our mission, we will not be deterred. Praise be to God for each and every person joined here together today, and glory be to Christ's unifying name. Amen. Now know that the peace of God, which surpasses